scientist turned Vedantin, benefit of Darshan of Shri Bhagwan. An anonymous author, a scientist, sent the following article to Sri Ramanashramam on 14th of April 1946. It was written in Tamil and only recently retrieved from the ashram's archives and published in the 1996 Tamil Souvenir commemorating the 100th anniversary of Sri Bhagwan's advent at Arunachala. Prakash Adhisation of Ann Arbor, Michigan has translated it to English, condensed it and sent it to us for publication. A youngster was pursuing study in the scientific discipline in college. He would attend lectures in science given by eminent scientists such as Sir C.V. Raman. He was convinced that a career in scientific research would provide fulfillment in his life. On the eve of graduation with a Bachelor of Science degree, he wanted to visit a few places before returning to his hometown. He happened to think of Thiruvannamalai, a town where his father used to frequently visit Sri Ramanashramam. Having never seen a sage in person, an urge to visit the sage's ashram arose in him. After arriving in Thiruvannamalai and entering the ashram, he obtained the Maharishi's darshan. This sage he saw did not appear like the one he had seen in the movies. The sage was wearing kaupinam and appeared to be an ordinary person. The youngster bowed down before the sage and sat in the hall in front of him. Maharishi was seated and remained silent. There were many people present in the hall, but the hall was quiet. Some time passed in this manner. After a while, the youngster was unable to continue sitting in a quiet manner. He did not know what to speak to the Maharishi. Fortunately, there were a few books near Maharishi. He picked up one of them and began to read. It was an English translation of Ulladu Narpudu with explanations. In that book, concepts such as being is one, the world is unreal, were enunciated, but the youngster could not understand them. At that time, his knowledge was confined to science. He could not help feeling confused in the following line of thoughts. Why should God create me? Where was I? Where will I be? Why should I remain here? Is all that I see false? I do know the presence of objects using my five senses. Don't I see the Maharishi sitting in front of me? He could not read the book anymore. He fell into contemplative mood. Just at that time, the Maharishi addressed the youngster thus, "What is the doubt?" The youngster raised his head and said, "There is a human figure on the sofa. There is one on the floor. Upon looking with my eyes, I perceive these two very clearly, but you say that in reality there is only one. How can that be true?" Maharishi smiled and kept quiet for a little while. After the passing of a few minutes, he replied to the youngster's question and said, "You must be used to performing experiments in your laboratory. Let us say that you were examining an object. The amount of detail you see depends on the quality of the instrument you use to examine the object. The more detail your instrument shows, the more you know about the object. Even in the presence of such a fine instrument, if your eyesight is poor, you will know very little about the object. If your eyesight is good, and if the brain is not normal, the object's true nature is not known to you. Similarly, if your brain is fine, but if your mind does not pay attention to what you are observing, the less you will know about the object. In summary, the amount you know about an object is dependent on an entity called mind. What is mind? It is thoughts. All the thoughts spring up from a single thought. This single thought forms the source of all the other thoughts comprising the mind. This thought is the I am this body thought. Without such a thought, the other thoughts that identify various external objects and cause the body to be identified separately from the external objects cannot occur. In deep sleep, devoid of I am the body thought, this alienation of external objects does not happen. Further, there are no other thoughts in that state. Upon waking up, the first thought to occur is the I am this body thought. There are two components in the thought. One component is body and the other component is I. The body is of transient nature. It is subject to change and it depends on external factors for its existence, such as food. But the nature of I is opposite from that of the body. What exists in truth should be existing always. The body does not exist all the time. So, that is not the truth. The I exists in all states, including waking, dream sleep, and deep sleep. Hence, I is the truth. Body is untrue. Both of these combined cannot exist as one entity that is true. How will night and day, light and darkness coexist? When there is light, there is no darkness. When there is darkness, there is no light. Similarly, there is no entity that has as its basis the coexistence of I and body. So, the I am the body thought has no basis in truth. If we examine the world with this untrue thought as the basis, how could we learn the truth? At that moment, he felt that the foundation of his knowledge being shaken up and his conviction in scientific pursuit providing the ultimate fulfillment suddenly disappeared. Further, the Maharishi said that one can realize the truth about the world after knowing the truth about oneself. He spoke about self-inquiry as the means to knowing oneself. The Upadesa the youngster received changed his mental attitude and subsequently his daily activities. The youngster pursued life in the same environment he had before, but he looked for life's fulfillment in the spiritual path, blessed by the Maharishi. He took up graduate studies and further undertook a career in teaching. However, he had no desire to achieve fame anymore. He felt that the grace of Maharishi allowed him to lead a harmonious life. The light that shines as Maharishi is the source of all and in all beings and is Ishvara himself. Let us pray in our hearts to the Maharishi and live joyously.